Thank you for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for a better pre-owned buying experience, Lakewood Chev has certified pre-owned vehicles that are fully inspected, warrantied by General Motors, and have a 30-day exchange privilege. It's Lakewood Chev. Workout Monday with World Health. Ricky Tran joins us once again. Ricky, welcome back to the show. How you doing? What were you doing in 2006? What could you bench press then? Could you even bench press?
You know what, guys? It's funny. You know, it's been such a long time, hey, and it's such exciting times. Just listening to you guys talking about it has brought back so many memories. Back in 2006, actually, I was already a couple years in the industry, living off White Avenue on 80th Ave there and participating in all the nightly events after all the games. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun back then.
Oh, yeah. I betcha. Yeah, I could imagine that being a lot of fun. Now, what's interesting is that we talk about culture in the hockey room and how it's very important. Today, I want to discuss about the intensity of the gym culture and maybe how maybe it's more of a myth than actual fact. I'm sure there's some really huge people that like to lift heavy in there that are pretty intense, but I don't know if kind of that 80s baggy pants, you know, muscle-bound guys are really the theory. But a lot of people who don't train use that as a reason why they don't go, because they're intimidated by the, quote, culture of the gym.
Right, right. And, you know, it's funny. That's unfortunately, you know, this misconception that's been building since, you know, really the 80s. And just like you said there, that old gym culture of the 80s where, you know, people were wearing baggy pants and it was all about, you know, bodybuilding and such. It had a very, very, I guess, a large impact on how people viewed what the gym was. And to tell you the truth, you know, that is completely gone in this day and age. And you're right. I think a lot of people, when they still think of what a gym is, especially like big box clubs, that's the first thing that comes to mind. But the reality is, Jason, so much has evolved over the, you know, this, even the last 10 years, again, when the Oilers last made the playoffs, that you know, it's really changed into a great environment, one of that fosters change. And most importantly, there's just so many different factions of, you know, how health and fitness has now been segregated into different types of lifting, different types of programming, that, you know, the gym culture is far, far less intimidating than it used to be.
Now, you know, flexibility in memberships, of course, is the norm, right? Where it used to be a lot different than before. How do you see, how is the business model, like outside of the culture, because it used to, hey, come in and pay and then you got to go. I think that's what intimidates some people, where they feel like, well, I'm just wasting my money. How's that changed?
Yeah, again, I think that's a really good point to kind of bring up when it comes to gym culture too, is again, I think there's a lot of even misconceptions on how memberships work, right? And again, back in the day, I mean, you know, there wasn't really a whole lot of knowledge on how gyms work. There wasn't a whole lot of transparency in it. So, you know, it was probably pretty easy to, you know, almost take advantage of people and get them locked into these memberships and such. But, I mean, we're living in an information age now where, you know, everything's available online. You know, people do a lot of research prior and such. And so just the idea of gym memberships, the flexibility behind it, you know, even if you look at our website, for instance, we're very transparent with everything we have. And I think a lot of gyms had to have changed to almost, you know, evolve with the times. And so there's lots of, you know, flexibility with memberships now. Even the process of how, you know, we do memberships are very open. The whole purpose of it is to make it as easy as possible for people to join the gym, because we've been doing it wrong for a very long time. I think, you know, we've been, like I said, to the point where, like I said, we just kind of made it really tough for people to join. And maybe a few people had some, you know, bad situations happen, or maybe just didn't enjoy that environment. And so it's just this ongoing ideology that kind of just follows us. But, you know, I think it's finally time where this industry has taken a stance to say, no, like, we understand now that it isn't about filling these gyms with just memberships where people don't use. We really want to, you know, create this environment where we're here to foster change and help with the change that people are looking for.
Now, when you look at the, you know, kind of the culture, the intimidating factor, it obviously there's places now that you can feel more comfortable depending on how you go. But what do people need to get over themselves to get in the gym? Like, what's the number one step holding back most people? Or is it just simply an excuse?
No, I think when we looked at this concept of gym culture, it was an intimidating environment. So I think that's the major thing that is going to be hard for a lot of people to let go is, will I fit in? You know, am I wearing the right clothes? I don't know what I'm doing. Am I going to look foolish, et cetera? And I think that's the biggest, I guess, barrier for a lot of people is, how do you overcome fear of the unknown, fear of this change, right? I mean, you're getting into a brand new environment that you've never been part of. And again, when I kind of mentioned us being in an information age, a lot of people are now equipped coming into our facilities or any facilities just with more knowledge, right? I've always kind of said, you know, there's no one out there that's smarter than Google. And the reality is, you can find anything that you want on Google. You know, you can find programming, you can find how to train specific ways. There's lots of things that you can do. But at the end of the day, once, you know, someone's kind of made the commitment to want to make that change, they just have to really get over the fact that these gyms now, even smaller clubs, boutique studios, et cetera, there's programming in place for everyone to succeed. And I think the biggest barrier that people really have to overcome is just that one misconception of maybe what they think the gym is. And once you overcome that, like I said, we'll be able to help facilitate change.
Ricky, quickly, having lived off of White Ave back in 2006 and took part in all of the activities, what's the one? Is it get some jogging in beforehand to ensure you can have a productive playoff run, physical wise?
Are you talking about you know what? At the end of the day,
like, what's a quick? Because people now are kind of like, hey, am I sacrificing my playoff watching or my gym? Most of them are gonna go, I'm sorry, gym. So what's a quick little 20-minute thing that's say, you know what? Hey, I got it. I got a little workout in. Now I can go watch the game.
Absolutely. You know, anything. And if that means, yeah, you can get on the treadmill for 20 minutes, join a group exercise class for half an hour, whatever the case is, do anything, because you know what? I think we deserve this. I think this is a good opportunity for everyone to, you know, put their health and fitness aside for a little bit, because this is a pretty exciting run that we got going here.
Well, it should be entertaining. Should be a lot of fun. Ricky, appreciate your time.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me again.